Hopefully you're already aware that you were here for microscopy today. So I want to do two things before I let you at it. One is to give you my standard microscopy lecture. And the other is to explain the only part of the procedure that really will probably give you any problems as far as how to do things. Go ahead and take the covers off your scopes. By the way, you guys have the honor of being the last section of the week, which means on days that we use scopes, you have the added task of putting them away, which is in that cabinet over there as part of cleanup. And speaking of cleanup, for the scopes, you have to use oil today, so make sure you clean your lenses before you put them away. And make sure you use the pink solution to clean it, and lens paper, not bibulous paper. They come in the same pack, same kind of package. Not bibulous paper, lens paper. Not Kim wipes either. Anyway, what are the overall two major categories of microscope types? Electron and light. Of course, we're using light microscopes here. And the model you have in front of you is a little bit more specifically a slide microscope as opposed to this dissecting scope over here, which is also a light microscope. Doesn't magnify nearly as much, but we need to look at that today, by the way, which I'll explain why later. Mostly you'll be using your slide scope, though. A little bit more specifically than that, we can say that it is a compound slide microscope. And what is it that makes it compound? To what? Well, it's not quite enough to say two lenses because there's ambiguity in that. For instance, it's not compound by virtue of the fact that there are two lenses you look through. That makes it binocular, not compound. Yeah.
The magnification through magnification or glasses?
Well, it's also not compound because you have multiple choices of magnification lenses. It has nothing to do with the condenser. What did you say? Yeah, there are two stages of magnification. So two different types of lenses that light goes through one after the other. And therefore, the image gets magnified first by one lens, and that already magnified image then gets magnified again by the second lens before it reaches your eye. And the total magnification is just the product of the individual magnifications. What are the two categories of lenses that are on a compound scope? You have objective lenses and you have ocular lenses, or at least you have one of each. The simplest case would be one objective lens and one ocular lens. In this case, you have two ocular lenses, which makes it binocular. But you also have four choices of objective lenses. Light goes through the objective lens first, right? It's called the objective. You can't drink in here, and you can't have that out. Why do we call it the objective lens? It's closest to the object that you're magnifying, which is the specimen that's on the slide, whatever that is, right? Ocular lenses are called that because ocular means of the eye. So those are the ones you put your eyes up to, however many there are. The ocular lenses on this model are 10x. So the total magnification is 10 times whatever the magnification of the objective you're using is. Okay? The objective lenses, of which there are four on this model, are all housed on a swivel. What do we call that swivel? No, that's part of the scope, but it's not that part. Any idea? It's called the nose piece. So you swivel the nose piece to choose an objective lens to use, which determines the magnification of your image. All right. Now there's a lamp housed in the base. And so if we follow the path of light, of course, leaves the lamp, and it's before it gets to your specimen, it's going to shine upward through a third type of lens, but this third type of lens is not actually a magnifying lens. It doesn't magnify the image because that light hasn't reached the specimen yet. That type of lens is called the condenser. And what it does is really just direct as many light beams as possible, light rays as possible, toward the slide so that the light isn't wasted. After leaving the condenser, it then gets to an adjustable opening. You can make either wider or narrower. And that opening goes by any of three names. What can we call that? Diaphragm, iris, or aperture. They all are this interchangeable when applied to a microscope. It's just like the aperture of a single lens reflex camera that you can stop down or open up. So that diaphragm is, or aperture, is one way that you can adjust how much light is passing through your sample. But it's more than just the amount of light that it affects. It affects the image quality in different ways as well. There's an even more fundamental way to adjust how much light is going through your sample, which is how. It's one that people seem to forget. By adjusting the dimmer, right? On this model, the on switch is not in the back. It's part of that red knob. So there's a detent. When you hear it click, it's on. But then after that, it's a dimmer as well. Remember that that's there because part of getting a good image is using the right amount of light. The lower the magnification you're using, the more light the lens collects, and therefore the less light you need. Using too much will wash the image out. As you go up in magnification by going to higher powered objective lenses, you might need to turn up the dimmer so that you have an equal amount of light coming in through a lens that doesn't collect as much. Okay. So now the light finally, after it's through the aperture, makes it to your specimen that is on your slide. Your slide rests on the platform, and that platform is the stage that you were talking about. On top of the stage, though, is a clamp, which is how you should always load your slide. Don't worry at all about whether your slide is centered. Just make sure it's in the clamp, the only way it really goes into the clamp. Always put it into the clamp the same way. That clamp, though, is connected to a mechanism that's controlled by two concentric knobs that hang on the right side of the stage. Works kind of like an etch-a-sketch. And that the clamp and the mechanism and the knobs collectively are called what? The stage is the actual platform. This thing is called the mechanical stage. The mechanical stage is how you move your slide around after it's clamped. So that's the way you get a look at a different part of the slide, not by directly touching the slide, but by moving the knobs of the mechanical stage. On a scope like this that has multiple objective lenses to choose from, of course, there's going to be one that is lowest power, smallest magnification. And whatever that smallest magnification is, that lowest powered objective lens gets a special name. And what is that? That's called the scanning lens. It's called the scanning lens because since it's the lowest powered objective lens, the field of view, which is the circle you see when you look through a scope, that always looks the same size to your eye, will actually be a bigger area of the slide than it would be if you were at higher magnification. In other words, at lower magnifications, you are more zoomed out and you see a bigger part of the slide. This is one reason why you should always start a new slide with the scanning lens, so that you can get an overall picture of what's there, maybe find something interesting, use the mechanical stage to center that interesting thing, and then go up in magnification by swiveling the nose piece to get a better look. The other major reason, though, even more important, for starting with a scanning lens is that it is by far the easiest one to focus because it has the greatest depth of focus and therefore is more forgivable if you don't get it exactly right. It'll still look in focus to your eye. Speaking of witches, the way to focus a slide, there's only one true focus, right? And that focus really means getting the distance correct between the slide and the objective lens, which means moving the stage up or down so that it's exactly the right height. And that's why what are called the focus knobs do just that. They move the stage vertically, either up or down. And there are duplicate focusing knobs, so there's a pair on the right and on the left of the neck of the scope. The bigger diameter one is the coarse focus knob, the smaller one the fine focus knob. That coarse focus knob, as you turn it, notice really drastically moves the stage up and down. That's the one that you should use only for the scanning lens. The fine focus knob really should only be used, for anything other than the scanning lens, you should only be focusing with the fine focus knob. That's because this particular scope is also an example of what we call a parfocal scope. Parfocal is a scope that is designed so that if you get it in focus with the scanning lens and then change objective lenses, it should still be roughly in focus and you might just have to tweak it with the fine focus. Okay? And therefore, that's what you should do, because notice that the higher powered objectives get longer and therefore closer to your slide. If you move the stage too drastically, you can damage things. All right, now, the other important thing is that there are two ways that you should personalize the scope to your body, which is important because looking through a scope for a long time can be painful. And there are a few exercises in this term, in this course, where you have to do just that. So to make it as pleasant as possible, you should bother to personalize the scope to your body in two ways, both of which involve the ocular lenses. When you grab the ocular lenses, notice that they can be moved farther apart or closer together. By doing that, you're adjusting what's called the interpupillary distance, which is simply the distance between the pupils of your eyes. And that is not a human constant. It varies by person. Some people have much farther distance, some closer distance. Well, most people overlook this, and this is why I see people closing one eye and using just one, because if you don't have it set right and you try to use both eyes, you'll see two separate circles, kind of like a MasterCard logo, that overlap. You don't want to do that, right? The whole idea of a binocular scope is that you get the advantage of stereoscopic vision, but only if you have the interpupillary distance set correctly so that with both eyes open, you'll see one circle. So that's one way. The other way is that the left ocular, you can twist, and it will move farther out or close. It'll move in or out, and that will focus just that separate lens. That's separate from the focusing knobs that control the stage. All right, and that makes up for any difference in focusability of your two eyes, which aren't necessarily identical to each other. So the proper way to do this whole thing is to turn the light on roughly halfway, half strength, load your slide into the clamp, move the mechanical stage so that the slide is pretty much centered on the light beam. Use the coarse focusing knob to move the stage all the way down, because you always want to start with it all the way down. For one reason, actually, you should do that before you even start, just because it gives you more room to load the slide. It's easier to work. But the actual important reason why you should start with the stage all the way down is that if you just slap a slide on there, whatever position the stage is in, it's not going to be in focus, almost certainly, because there's only one point where it's perfect focus. Probably not going to be there. And if it's out of focus, you're not going to know whether it's out of focus because it's the stage is too high or it's too low. If you make the wrong flip of the coin, you can make the problem even worse by going in the wrong direction. So by keeping it all the way down or starting with it all the way down, you know it will start out as out of focus, but as long as you keep bringing the stage up and look through it continuously, something should pop into view. That's when you then focus with the coarse focusing knob. But to personalize it to your body, you should do this for the first time with only your right eye open, looking only through the right ocular lens. Use the coarse focusing knob, get it as good as you can with that scanning lens. Use the fine focus knob, get it perfect for that right eye. Keep your hands off the focusing knobs then, because you're done with that with those. Then switch eyes. Close your right eye, open your left eye, look only through the left ocular lens. And if it's still in focus, then you're all set, but it probably won't be. Then, with just that eye open, swivel the left ocular lens, which will focus just that lens for that eye. Now, assuming that you'd already set the interpupillary distance for your eyes, you should have both lenses in focus, and when you open both eyes, you should see one focused circular field of view. Okay? So that's how to minimize the pain of looking through these things for a long period, and it'll get you the best results. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the calibration of the ocular micrometer. Okay, now if you look in the right ocular lens with the light on, you'll see that there is a scale in there, and the right ocular can also be twisted, but that doesn't focus it. That just will twist that scale, just like, you know, in case you want to if you're measuring things on there. It's a scale, though, of evenly spaced tick marks from 0 to 100. That's all they're labeled, though. There aren't any absolute distance units given for these tick marks. And that's because there can't be, because the actual distance between them is going to depend on what objective you're using at that moment. Right? This is analogous to looking through your fingers, which are kind of like tick marks. Depending on what you're looking at on the other side, how close that is, the distance, the apparent distance differs, right? I can say, okay, the one tick mark equals the width of this bottle, if it's the right distance, or the diameter of the moon if I go outside, right? Same exact tick mark. Depends on what the image coming into that is. And similarly, it depends on what objective lens you've chosen, which is upstream of that ocular micrometer. By the way, don't be confused by the word micrometer, which is exactly the same spelling as micrometer. Micrometer, which is an instrument for measuring distances, is not a unit of distance like the micrometer is. So this thing is called the ocular micrometer because it's housed in the ocular lens. Well, you can use this to measure cell width or anything that you're looking at through the scope, like you do today. But by itself, all you can say is something is this many ocular micrometer units or tick marks big. That doesn't give you an absolute size, which would be useful in, like, in micrometers, for instance, which are appropriate units for microscopy. Therefore, what you're tasked with partially today is to calibrate the ocular micrometer so that you can know how many micrometers there are in each one of those ocular micrometer units, which are the tick marks. An ocular micrometer unit is not a micrometer. By the way, and it's probably better to call an ocular micrometer by its other name, which is a reticle, because then you don't run into that confusion. But on the datum sheet, if it's calling for ocular micrometer units, that means tick marks on the ocular scale. It does not mean micrometers. If it's calling for micrometers, it will use the standard abbreviation, which is mu m. Okay, not the word micrometers. Okay, so let me just give you a thought experiment for how to, which is analogous to how you're going to calibrate this ocular micrometer. If I give you a long strip of paper that's evenly tick marked. It's just a paper version that's nice and big to work with. but you don't have any idea how big those tick marks are. And I want you to use that as a measuring device to measure the size of things. Then you're going to have to calibrate that first, right? You're going to have to know how big those tick marks are. So if the only other material I give you to work with is a meter stick, what do? Well, you put the meter stick up against the other scale, right? So you have the unknown scale at the top with its tick marks. You have the meter stick with its own tick marks that are different sizes compared to the tick marks on the unknown scale. But you just put the zero of the known scale up right up against the zero of the unknown scale. Those two will match up because you're making them match up. The next ones won't because they're different size tick marks, right? But if you continue to the right, eventually you'll find a pair of tick marks, one from each of the two scales, that match up perfectly somewhere else. And then all you have to do is count how many there are on the meter stick and how many there are on the other scale. And you would say, okay, this many unknown tick marks is equal to however many centimeters, and therefore you can figure out how big each individual unknown tick mark is. You see what I'm saying? It's exactly what you're doing with the ocular micrometer. Instead of using a meter stick, though, you're using still another micrometer called a stage micrometer, which I'll be handing out to groups individually. And don't keep them out. When you clean up, give them back to me when you're done. And be careful with them because they're expensive pieces of glass. And one has already been broken this week. But anyway, a stage micrometer example is shown over here on the dissecting scope. And this is why whoever in your group is responsible for doing the calibration, which is not everyone. Remember, you got to divide the labor. You do different things. But whoever is going to do the calibration, before you start it, I want you to come over here and turn this light on and take a look at the overall stage micrometer, because you get too close a view on the slide scope. I want you to see the whole scale so you know where you should be on it. It's a scale from 0 to 25 millimeters. And so it's numbered 0 to 25. But for the first 20 millimeters, there's only one tick mark per millimeter. So those are way too coarse for you to use for your slide microscope. From 20 to 23, they get finer, but still too coarse. And then from 23 to 25, there are 50 tick marks for each millimeter. So there's 50 between the number 23 and the number 24. If there are 20 tick marks in a millimeter, how big is each tick mark? Well, the quick answer is 1/50th of a millimeter, right? But what is 1/50th in decimal form? Well, what is 1/5th in decimal form? 0.2, therefore 1/50th is 0.02, right? So each tick mark on the fine end, which is the only end you should be using for this calibration procedure, is... each tick mark of the stage micrometer, that is 0.02 millimeters, but what's another way of saying that? That's how many micrometers? It's 20 micrometers, right? There's 1,000 micrometers in a millimeter. 0.200 would be 200 micrometers. 0.02 is 20 micrometers. All right? So, take a look at that first before you put it in your scope. But then you just put that stage micrometer, just like a normal slide, onto your scope and focus on it. But find that 23, and it will be block numerals that will kind of look like this. That's what you're really using for your zero, because everything to the left of that is too coarse. Line that up perfectly with the zero of your ocular micrometer. So you're going to have to, first of all, swivel the right ocular so that the two scales are parallel to each other. And then using the stage micrometer, not only line it up with 23 exactly equal to zero, but also use it to move these two scales so they very slightly overlap each other. don't have space between the tick marks like I have here. Make them overlap a little bit. Then all you have to do is look for the next instance to the right of zero, where one tick mark on the stage micrometer matches up perfectly with the tick mark on the ocular micrometer. When you get to that point, when you notice where that is, it's just a matter of counting units on each of the two scales. So just for example, this is, your numbers will be totally different, I'm just making this up. Let's say that it takes 13 ocular micrometer units, the ones that are unknown, to match up to 11 stage micrometer units, then mathematically we could say that 13 ocular micrometer units, which are the unknown ones you're trying to calibrate, equals 11 stage micrometer units, but we know that stage micrometer units are all 20 micrometers, so it's 11 times 20 micrometers. And that's the proper way to write a mu. It has a long leading tail. Okay? In other words, or I mean by simplification, 13 ocular micrometer units would equal 220 micrometers. Correct? And therefore, by dividing both sides by 13, we can say that each individual, or one ocular micrometer unit, equals whatever 220 divided by 13 is, micrometers big. That's the calibration. Now, if you measure something with the ocular micrometer unit, you can use this mathematically to convert ocular micrometer units into micrometers, which is more useful. And that's the calibration. But importantly, that calibration is valid only for that particular objective lens. Each objective lens is going to have its own set of numbers and therefore its own calibration that you have to figure out. Well, I should say three of them you need to do this for. Not the oil objective lens, the biggest one, because there's not enough room. The stage micrometers are too thick. Once you do the other three, though, notice the mathematical trend that's occurring, and you'll be able to mathematically figure out what it would be for the highest level as well. And I should say that you'll get best visual results if you, while you're doing this calibration, if you turn the light all the way up and close the iris all the way down. It'll be much sharper for you to see that way. Any questions on any of that? Then proceed.